Ramsey TV.
What is it with these bumper stickers that say, I love my beagle, I love my German Shepherd? You know, I mean, that's not a big deal. Who cares? Everybody loves their dogs. Why do you have to announce it? I mean, if you want to be interesting, say something like, I hate my Basset Hound. Yeah, yeah. I hate my poodle. Now, that would be interesting. I'd be thinking about that for the rest of the day. And then there's these people. I've actually seen this bumper sticker. I love my wife. Oh, you love your wife. That's amazing. Why don't you just put a bumper sticker that says, I love my son and my daughter. Even Jesus said, what is it? It's no big deal. Even the nations love those who love them. That could be this guy's wife doesn't love him. In which case, I would like to see a bumper sticker that says, I love my enemies. Now, there's something that's interesting. I love my wife. I love everybody who loves me. Just put that. I love everybody who loves me. Oh, I tell you, all this posing, all this self-righteousness, my God. I'm tired of it. This is Martin Zender. You're at MZTV. Welcome to another show. I need help with green screen. You notice that I have a green screen thanks to a wonderfully generous subscriber in Canada. But I really don't know what I'm doing. If any day it looks good, it's like, wow, Zender really has it looking good. No, it's an accident. It is an accident. I never do it the same way twice. I don't understand what I'm doing. If anybody is an expert at it, please come down here to Fort Lauderdale. I can't pay your flight expenses, but I can put you up. I got a nice bedroom in here. You can sleep there. I'll sleep on the couch. I've slept on the couch many, many, many times. I need help. I don't know what I'm doing. Now, if you say something like, well, I'm going to give it my best shot, that's nice. I appreciate it. But no, I need somebody who's an expert. So if you know what to do, come down here and show me. I'm a hands-on guy. I have to see it. I don't know what's going on. I've looked at all the tutorials. I still can't get it right. Okay, just to wrap up on Babylon, then I'm going to talk about Richard Dawkins, the world's most famous atheist. Babylon. Think about the words in the book of Revelation that describe it. The words of the Holy Spirit. Secret and strong. I mean, it's been laying there on the surface for years. Secret Babylon. Thank God for the Concordant version, who correctly translates secret, whereas the King James and most common English translations have mystery. No, it's Secret Babylon. And then it's called strong. Secret and strong. Now, let me ask you this. Let's just take Dubai, for instance. There it is, rising high up in the air in all its grandeur. The world's largest, the world's tallest building is in, it's in Dubai. Would you in any way say that city is secret? How is it a secret? It's sticking out all over the place. It's not a secret. How is it? Is it strong? No, it's like ripe for the picking. New York City, would you say New York City is strong? No, it's ripe for the picking. But back to Dubai, it seems like spindly and vulnerable. Not secret and strong, spindly and vulnerable. I'll say, did I say that? Spindly and vulnerable. I had another way to describe it. What is it? It's obvious and fragile. Obvious and fragile. Any city sticking above the ground is fragile. Just ask London during World War II, during the Blitzkriegs. Where did the people go? Underground bomb shelters. Because London, the city itself, was not strong and secret. Certainly it wasn't secret. It wasn't spindly, but I would say it was obvious and vulnerable. So, again, these things just hit me last week, and I shared them with you and yesterday, so, and the day before, come to think of it. So, secret and strong almost, now that I'm thinking about it, almost demands an underground city. Okay, now, Richard Dawkins. Oh my gosh. The case of atheists. Where do we go with this? I was watching several years ago, Ben Stein made a movie called Expelled. You might have seen it. The subtitle of that movie was No Intelligence Allowed. It's about educators, mainly college educators, who teach the theory of evolution, but they also teach intelligent design. They don't say God. They don't say Jesus. They don't say by him all things consist. No, it's just that the design of animals and plants and the world, the cosmos, it's obviously there's an intelligence behind it. It's like obvious. But these educators, these professors were not allowed to teach it. And many of them were expelled. That's the title of the movie, Expelled. They couldn't even suggest that it would be possible that there's intelligent design. Because as we know, academia is, you know, politically motivated. And as I told you, the left wants to drive God out of everything. So that's what's happening in the colleges. They're left, politically, radically left. They teach communist principles and they try to get God out of everything, out of everything. So teachers were losing their jobs left and right. Anyway, Ben Stein interviewed Richard Dawkins. And he asked him a very pertinent question. But what really impressed me was Dawkins' answer. Ben Stein said to him, "What would you do if you died and woke up and there was God? And you realized that your whole life you wrote books and you taught on atheism, but you were all wrong, all wrong." Dawkins sat there for a moment, tapped his pen on his desk, and I'll never forget his answer. Dawkins said, "I would say to him, sir, why did you take such pains to hide yourself?" Woo! Wow. You know, that would reflect an instinctive belief in the sovereignty of God. That was his instinctive answer. Like, okay, obviously you exist. I'm at the Great White Throne. There you are. Okay, I believe in you now. But you could have easily revealed yourself to me. But you didn't. You sent me off on this career of atheism. And I spent 60 years making an ass of myself that I now regret. And here I am at the Great White Throne. Do with me what you will. But what a question. Why did you take such pains to hide yourself? And it's true. God does take pains to hide himself, except in Revelation chapter 1. I'm going to get to that. But God does take pains. In the Proverbs 25:1, 25:2, the writer there says, Solomon, "It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, and the honor of kings to search it out." And then Jesus says to his disciples in Matthew, "To you it was given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but to those without it has not been given." God withholds sight from people to grasp him. He purposely does this. We know that because we believe the sovereignty of God. Paul on Mars Hill talked about people grasping for God if somehow they might find him. But God hides himself from most of the world to the point the Christians don't even know. The ones who claim his name don't know him. They worship a false God and a false Christ. God is still hiding himself from them. Instead of revealing himself to them of who he is, what his nature is, his plan, he puts them in a demonic religion. Billions of them. So that we can suffer evil for the sake of the evangel and receive great rewards. That's why they're stubborn. Do you know that? That's why the whole Christian world is stubborn. So we can suffer at their hands. Why do you think the priesthood was so stubborn in Jesus' day, so that he could go against it and suffer, because great reward comes from suffering evil with the message, which with the evangel. God's doing us a favor. So did God hide himself? I guess Dawkins is still alive. Does God continue to hide himself from Richard Dawkins? Yes. However, that's on one level. But on another level, here comes the other level. I'm going to read you Romans chapter 1. You might know where I'm going with this. Verse 19. That which is known of God is apparent among them. Who's them? Well, everybody in the world except believers. For God manifests it to them. For his invisible attributes. See, he doesn't describe his attributes to these people as he does to us in detail. God wants us to know him so bad he describes his attributes to us in Scripture via Paul. Paul gives us the clearest view of God that anyone in history has ever had, including Peter, James, John, and all the prophets that went before them. Anybody, Adam, Noah, Abraham, name your patriarch or matriarch. We know more than they ever knew because of Paul. But to these people, God doesn't reveal his attributes, his specific attributes, but this is what he does do. His invisible attributes are, even though they're the specificities of them are hidden or secret, the word I used to describe Babylon. No, I didn't use it. John used it. The Holy Spirit used it. His attributes are descried, announced from the creation of the world, being apprehended by his achievements. What are his achievements? The cat. The elephant. The apple tree. Saturn, with that ridiculous ring around it. The stars. A blade of grass. Bananas. These are all God's achievements. And they also reflect of his imperceptible power and divinity. So let me read that whole verse at one time. That which is known of God is apparent among them. How? God doesn't reveal himself to them in detail. Here's how. God manifests it to them. For his individual attributes are described from the creation of the world, being apprehended by his achievements, besides his imperceptible power and divinity. And here's the kicker at the end of verse 20, Romans 1, for them to be defenseless. So after Richard Dawkins has had this discussion with God, and he says, sir, why did you take such pains to hide yourself? God's going to say, I know what you mean, because I did send you on a wild goose chase into the stupidity of atheism. However, Mr. Dawkins, you are not defensible. In other words, you are defenseless. How so? Asks Richard Dawkins. Because you saw my creation. You saw the cat. You had one. You ate bananas. You didn't have an elephant, but you saw one at the zoo. You know about Saturn and that wacky ring. Not to mention the feathers on the head of the peacock. And deep down somewhere, every atheist knows that there is a God. But I contend to you that it's Christianity that pushes these people who have this instinct that makes them defenseless, pushes these people away. You've heard me say many times, Paul says of the Jews and the Israel types, not supposed to say that. Shit, hope I'm okay. All right, Israel types. He says concerning them, because of you, the name of God is blasphemed among the nations. Well, Richard Dawkins is part of the nations, and because of the blasphemy of the diabolical, demonic teachings of Christianity has been driven away from God. That has put a shadow over his instinct that there is a God, because he sees his wisdom, his power, his glory, his intelligence, intelligent design. He sees that in the creation, in the eyes of the cat, and even in the peel of the banana. And of course, that ridiculous sprig of feathers coming off the top of the head of the peacock. And look what Christians do with this. They use this very verse. It's unbelievable what Christians do with it. Well, no, it's not unbelievable. It's quite predictable. They use this verse to damn people to hell. Because people will say to the Christians, well, you can't send people to hell, eternal torment, who have never heard of God. People have never heard of God, like the Aborigine in the deepest bush of Australia, or some people up in the North Pole digging themselves out of an igloo. I don't know. These people, let's say, never heard of Jesus Christ. And you know what the Christians say? They go to this verse. Ah, no, no, no. They're defenseless, because even the people in the igloo have to look at the ice crystal, have to look at that beautiful design. They have to brush the snowflakes off of their eyebrows and study them and see that not one, not two snowflakes are alike. So because of that, they're going to hell. Because of that, they're going to be tortured for eternity. Because they saw the snowflake, damn it. They should have realized. Well, I agree with that second part. They saw the snowflake, they should have realized. But this is not an excuse for God to send them to hell, because the Christians missed the whole point of Romans 1, 2, and 3. In Romans 1, 2, and 3, Paul's not trying to just condemn the Aborigine or the Inuits. He's condemning the whole entire world. He's using this, that is, looking at the creation, looking at the cactus and the blade of grass and the sun, and not understanding that there's a creator behind it. He's using that to wipe out the whole world. And then in the next chapter, he wipes out the Israelites. What Paul's doing is setting the stage for the need for a savior. So it's true, nobody has any excuse, not even the people who have never heard of Jesus Christ. But them not having any excuse, it's not God's excuse to send them to an eternity of torment. It's God's excuse to send them a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Paul winds up this whole Romans 1, 2, 3 by saying there's no one righteous, no, not one, not one is understanding. He's wiped out the world, Paul has, the entire world. Even those who have never heard, he's wiped them out, and then he wipes the Israelites out. When he says, you who are saying that you're an Israelite, and you're all this, and you're all that, and you wrote the scriptures, and you are in charge of the divine ceremony, to you God has revealed himself, you think you're up here, and the people who look at Saturn and don't know anything, I hate to tell you this, Israelites, you're all in the same boat. So see, not recognizing God in his creation, it's not an excuse for God to send people to hell. It's an excuse for God to send a Savior to save everyone. So actually, God, being the Savior of all humanity, in order to amplify his power and might and ability, he has to put all his creatures in a state of need, desperate need. And where some of his creatures would say, well, our need is less than that person's need. That person can't even look at a cat and know there's a God. Well, look at you. You're all self-righteous. Boom, you're done too. You are done too. So I rejoice that Richard Dawkins will see God. Won't be to the great white throne unless he watches this video. And all creation will come, all human beings will come to know God, all creation, all souls. will come to see God. But look what this emphasizes to us. It emphasizes to us the favor we have from God. The favor that God not only makes, he not only doesn't make us dumb when we look at creation. Because I look at creation and I marvel at everything. It's like, oh God, you're great, you're wonderful, you're beautiful. Not only that, but he also gave us the inside information about his nature, his character, beyond the fact that he's this mighty deity that speaks the sun into existence. To us, he's a father, and he sits us on his lap, and he reveals to us the intimate details, the intricacies, the folds and the creases, the nooks and the crannies of his nature. I'm thankful for the sun today. I'm thankful for cats. And I love my Shih Tzu. I love my Shih Tzu, Charles. But I'm also desperately thankful that God chose me to know the glories, the deepest glories of him.